And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
It's time to overreact one way or another to everything we've seen through the first 9 games of the NHL regular season. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 1 Mailbag Edition. In addition to tackling some of the headline stories from early going in the fantasy world, we'll answer some of your questions. The impatience is brewing already. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dua with you. How's it going, Pete?
What's going on, Nick? Never too early to get impatient. Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And never too early for Connor Bedard to get involved, right, Anna? Scored his first goal in game number 2. Had a helper by accident in game 1 and 11 shots on goal through those first 2 games, so really impressive so far.
Absolutely. The highlight for me was his picture after he scored the goal in the locker room. If anyone saw that with the puck, the kid did not look excited at all. He hates to lose, but I think that was the least exciting thing that happened last night, Nick. We got to talk about all the goals. That is the most amount of goals I can remember seeing in a season opener day in a long time.
6 of 9 overs have hit so far as we welcome in today's guest, Jay Kahn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Have you been hammering those overs, Jake?
Of course, you got to hammer the overs the first couple weeks of the season. Everybody's loose, still kind of in preseason mode. Nick, Anna, Pete, always great to be with you guys. And I'm here to overreact with all of you. Bedard's scoring, what, 50? Matthews is going to get 80. What, Brock Besser we're looking at, 60, 65, something like that. So I'm here for all the overreaction takes.
Jake, great to see you, buddy. Wanted to ask you early on Connor Bedard's line mates. One of them already went down with an injury, Taylor Hall's week to week. And Ryan Donato has exploded so far with points of each of his first 2 games and a bunch of shots on goal to boot. What's your take on who's going to replace Taylor Hall? Is it going to be Athanasiou? And are you adding Ryan Donato on this Thursday?
Well, I actually already did add Ryan Donato in a couple of deeper nice leagues before these games started because you saw the line combinations. And look, when you're in a 16-team league, a deep league, as you guys know, it's the waiver wires are pretty slim picking. So I did grab Donato, and I think he's found a spot on my roster, at least for now, to stay. It was more of a streaming option at first, and you kind of see the chemistry early on. He's taking some important faceoffs for the Blackhawks as well. Unfortunate that Taylor Hall went down, and I hope he can come back at some point and have an impact for Chicago. I think the important thing here is, guys, Bedard looks legit, and that's just going to make everybody around him better. So whether it's Athanasiou that jumps up, or you know, we're talking about Donato already having a little bit of success, just keep an eye on line combinations in Chicago. I think anybody that gets that assignment with Bedard could have some success on your fantasy roster this year.
Big repeat of the sentence, Bedard looks legit, for our producer, Bob Bender, there. It seems like everyone's on the same page right now. I agree with you, Joe. Jake, the thing for me is Chicago is one of those teams where no one really knew where they would stand playing against other opponents. It was kind of Connor Bedard and everyone else. And I feel like there's a lot of teams like that in the NHL this year where it could be high highs or low lows. Another team that really surprised me last night was the Montreal Canadiens. Man, what a showing they had. So asking you, between the Blackhawks or the Canadiens, which team in particular are you taking a look at to maybe pick up some guys off the waiver wire roster? Because I think the Canadiens actually might have even more sneaky upside in terms of the numbers of players they have.
I think I have some interest in both, really, but I feel like the Habs probably have more options in terms of the depth, right? Like you can go 3 lines deep and have some guys at least that you're kind of interested in. Whereas when I look at the Blackhawks, it's kind of Bedard's line or nobody. Just watching them through a couple of games. So far, felt like everything was going in for the Habs against the Maple Leafs on Wednesday, and they tend to play that season opening game against the Maple Leafs quite well. But a lot of interesting options there. I think Josh Anderson looked pretty good up on that top line. Sean Monahan, I know he's had so much trouble staying healthy throughout the course of his career, but if he can find some power play time, which it looks like he's going to get, I think he could be an interesting option for fantasy players moving forward.
Jake, I told you that Habs puck line was going to hit. No, baby, it hit in that game. A couple things. Come on, guys. We're 1 game into this season, and we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens being an offensive juggernaut. Like, the Leafs do that every season against Montreal in the opener. I'm not sold on Chicago. Like, as far as I'm concerned, this is a tough hit between the bet Bob Bender and I have when it comes to Connor Bedard, because I don't know who this guy is going to play with. I think after the injury, they played Donato, Bedard, Athanasiou, as we mentioned. So that seems to be the line. But, like, this is a tough hit for Bedard. I do agree. He's the real deal. I think some external replacement options, if you have Hall on your roster, as we mentioned, going to be week to week here. Tyler Bertuzzi, Michael Bunting, Ivan Barbashev with the Vegas Golden Knights. But probably to answer the question, and it would be the Montreal Canadiens, just because we know there's players on that roster, Pete, that can produce. Now it's time to go out there and do it here in the fantasy world.
How about replacing it with someone from the Vancouver Canucks after that 8-goal outburst last night? Filip Hronek, 2 assists. You love to see that type of impact. Thatcher Demko, Vezina candidate, Nick, you were saying, left the game early with an illness, but played hard and tough. And the thing I took away from Vancouver is, like, they got guys there that, after all the dust is settled, including Brock Besser, that want to be there. Remember their captain, Bo Horvat, left? Had some choice words to say about the fans and stuff. Maybe he didn't want to be there. I mean, this team seems like they're dialed in, and they gave the Oilers a rude awakening reality check early on this season, Anna.
I mean, if you told me yesterday that Austin Matthews had a hat trick and he still didn't score the most goals in the NHL, but Brock Besser did, I mean, you could have gotten some serious money out of me if you told me that earlier yesterday, let me tell you that. But just have to say for this podcast right now, and Nick, you can comment on this as well, because I would love to hear your thoughts. I had the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs this year, guys. I had them in the playoffs. They were in my wild card spot. So I just want to give myself a pat on the back right now. After one game.
This is incredible,
because
guys.
We saw what I saw in them. It's the Quinn Hughes era straight to the postseason.
I don't believe this. Like, it's Brock. They're calling it Brocktober in Vancouver now, Jake. Like, I was mentioning you guys off the air. Like, I had a buddy who's in media message me and was bragging about the future. They took a Rick Tocchet flyer on winning the Jack Adams this year, Jake. It's 1 of 82. Vancouver can come back and puke themselves in game two.
I actually did mention the Rick Tocchet flyer when we were doing a little bit of an awards preview on one of our shows. I if you did like the Canucks to make the playoffs, and I know Anna's taken a bit of a half victory lap there. Not a full victory lap, but just a half one. Game one, they did look really good. But I do like the look on Tocchet. Like, if they make the playoffs, I think, and a lot of people love Rick Tocchet, so I think he would garner a lot of attention in the media and some votes. So I actually don't mind that angle. I mean, everything was going in for Brock Besser. He stole Brock Nelson's Brocktober moniker.
Yeah.
Here with this one, they're going in off his feet. So it's just one of those nights where everything was going his way. Anna mentioned Quinn Hughes as well, and him, like, we know he's a great defenseman. He's been a great fantasy player for a while. Look for him to shoot the puck a lot more this year. I noticed this in preseason. He had an 8-shot game. He had a 3-shot game. I believe he finished with 3 in the game last night as well. Never been a big shot on goal guy, but there's been some speculation in the offseason that he would like to get that shot off more and possibly score a little bit more. So shot props, goal props, things like that, I think something to look for early in the season with Quinn Hughes.
Really interesting on the flip side with Edmonton that they started Jack Campbell in this game. And one of the funniest fan questions in a while, somebody asked, why are you the way that you are, Jack Campbell? The good old Michael Scott question. And it's a valid one, right? Like, Stuart Skinner, I feel like, should have been starting this game. You could say that in hindsight. He didn't look good either, Nick, in this game. They both allowed 4 goals a pop. So are you worried on this Thursday morning about Edmonton's goaltending for the rest of the season?
In short, absolutely not. I'm just going to come on here and say and defend the goalies. A, it's one game. B, I think, a lot of people who watched the game, I don't think goaltending was the issue. It was like the team in front of them not showing up. So believe it or not, I'm going to give Jack Campbell a pass in the first game because Stuart Skinner got lit up too. Just, it was a complete no-show. I was really, really shocked by the Edmonton Oilers' performance in the first game.
I just struggle so much to track how you feel about Jack Campbell from episode to episode, season to season, because last year heading into the year, you were so down on Jack Campbell when everyone else was high on him. This year, you hyped him up a lot. Maybe this is like the Nick Alberga curse right now that Jack Campbell is dealing with, because that was a tough performance. But that's one team I will give a pass to. I'm not too worried. Yeah. Edmonton has such a strong team around them, Pete, that I feel like this is a group that their goaltenders are just going to benefit from being behind those guys. It really doesn't matter what their level of individual performances, and this was just kind of a fluke. They were just getting into the season. So even though I took a victory lap with Vancouver, I feel like Edmonton still has a lot of upside this year.
It was a sleepy game, honestly, for the Oilers. They just, even McDavid and Draisaitl, outside of maybe a couple of power play chances, they did look sleepy. I'm not concerned about the goaltending. And I know, Nick, I'm in a fantasy league with you where you reached up and grabbed Jack Campbell, and You beat me to it. I had him in my queue ready to go, and I do have him in a couple of other leagues as well. it was just one of those nights where it didn't seem to be going for him, and a lot of bounces went against him. And then Stuart Skinner comes in, and he doesn't fare any better. So I don't think I'm concerned. It's just one game. Long term, I still really like the Jack Campbell play. I liked what we saw in preseason, you know, kind of late in the year last year as well. I still like the Campbell bounce back for Edmonton.
99th overall, as far as I know, he still walks his cat, which is an issue for me. But nevertheless, we talk about futures for the Jack Adams. We talked about this last week with Leboff, that John Cooper, Jack Adams is so live right now. Jake, I just looked again. Jonas Johansson, I don't know what way we're going to pronounce it this year, but he's at 50% ownership. The guy's the biggest sieve in the league, man. I love him, but like 3 goals on 31 shots. How would you attack, Jake, how would you attack Tampa's goaltending, Tampa's crease? They just look so different and weird without Vasi there.
I think for me, it's mostly a stay away unless you're pretty desperate. But I mean, if it was late in your draft and you needed a third goaltender or something like that, I didn't mind it. It's just, it's more of a short-term play than anything else. It's not necessarily going to help you win your league late when Vasilevsky does come back. And it's going to take Vasilevsky some time to get acclimated once he comes back as well. And maybe, you know, best case scenario, Johansson earns himself a backup role to Vasilevsky if he plays well enough through this stretch. But I just don't think there's a ton of long-term value there. But yeah, short-term, he's going to win some games. I still think Tampa's really good, guys. I feel like there's going to be that heightened awareness in front of the goaltenders. They've got two of the better defensemen out there in Hedman and Sergachev, and obviously a ton of offensive ability as well. And a veteran team like Tampa will rally around something like this with the news of Vasilevsky.
If there was a Vezina trophy for the preseason, Johansson would have that locked down. So put some respect on his name. But since we're staying in the crease, I got a question for you, Jake, a little bit closer to home. What is going on with Ilya Samsonov? This is a goalie that I have not been high on. I feel like all of the hype around the Toronto Maple Leafs spread back down to him. I'm still traumatized from his time in Washington. So he's a goalie I stay away from in fantasy. A lot of people took him rather high in a draft that I was a part of this year, though. So where are you at with him? That was not the game he wanted to start his season with.
Yeah, the team bailed him out, certainly. I mean, they probably should have lost that game with his goaltending performance. And I was at the game, Anna, and the buzz leaving the building, very much some murmurs from the crowd, that it's Joe Wall season in Toronto, sooner than people maybe thought. I know there were some projections, and I took a couple flyers on him late in the draft as well, thinking, hey, even if he's the backup in Toronto, I still think there's value there for a team that's going to win a lot of games. So it was a bad performance by Samsonov to start the season, and Wall's breathing down his neck. So if he gets a couple starts, comes in there and starts to play well, maybe he does take over that net quicker than some of us would have projected. So I think I'm much higher on Wall and where he was going in fantasy drafts than I was taking a shot on Samsonov a lot earlier in drafts this year.
I feel like I'm just defending goalies, and you were there at the arena, just TJ Brody with a nice gift to Ilya Samsonov to start the season. I don't know what was that, but there was like four of those, including the Liljegren one and the Yolonen 5-3 goal. Like I'm giving the goaltenders the benefit of the doubt. We talk about this, Pete, every fantasy season. Like October is just a disaster and the overs hit like crazy. So talk to me in November, essentially, what I'm saying with any of these guys, Pete.
Well, another goaltending note and development since we last talked, guys, is that Connor Hellebuck is staying in Winnipeg and Mark Scheifele is joining him, staying with the group. Not something we expected to happen at any point this season, let alone before opening night. Jets lost the opener, but still, I feel like there is renewed optimism around this team. Jake, do you feel like the Winnipeg Jets are a live bet, let's say, to make the playoffs? Or is their Stanley Cup window still open? I still think it's closed, but it's up for debate here after these two big developments.
I feel like if the cup window's open, it is so slight. Like you could barely fit any, like a piece of paper could barely fit through the opening in that window. But I think the playoff window is very much open. I actually like Winnipeg to make the playoffs this year. I just think that there's a cap on how far that roster could go. They do check a lot of the boxes that you would want to check for a cup roster. Like they have a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman in Morrissey that we saw last year. Hellebuck is a Vezina caliber goaltender that can steal series. And they do have some skill forwards. I just don't think they have enough up there to actually win a cup. But I think they could certainly be a playoff team this year. They're a team I would be looking to back. And I thought they actually looked quite good in Calgary and probably win that game more often than not with how many chances they had in that hockey game. So a bit of a crazy week for them, right? You signed the big tickets for Hellebuck and Scheifele. They kind of shocked the hockey world. Then you got to get ready for a season opener. So there's a lot going on in Winnipeg right now. I'm not shocked that they came out and lost that first game. But yeah, long-term, guys, I'm in on the Jets. I think they're going to win enough games this year to make the playoffs. But that's probably as far as it goes for me.
Guys, I'm absolutely stunned Kevin Cheveldayoff was able to re-sign not one, but two of his core pieces. I thought they're finito. See you later. I was already ordering my Connor Hellebuck New Jersey Devils jersey, and here we are sitting on this Thursday, and hell, he's staying for the next 8 years. And I was going to ask you, like, does this change your perception fantasy-wise? Because I won't lie, for me, I'm not as bullish as maybe the other two on the Winnipeg Jets. Does it change your perception in terms of trying to quantify fantasy value for these guys moving forward? Like, I equated Hellebuck being moved, Scheifele being moved into where I rank these guys. How do you feel about the Jets?
I agree. I think it was definitely a factor. I was a bit hesitant even in my own drafts to take Hellebuck just because of the situation surrounding whether he was going to stay or not. I'm not as high on Winnipeg as I think Jake and Pete are, but I'm not as low as you are. I'm a happy middle. I think this is a team that you're going to get fantasy value. If you have Hellebuck, he's like a for sure starter, right? You're going to get those starts. You're going to get that workload. So he's a no-brainer in fantasy. The rest of those guys, it's just how do they pair up with the teams that they're playing against? So like they played against Calgary last night. I saw more value in Calgary than I saw in Winnipeg. That's a team that I also didn't have making the postseason, but there were some sparks there. Jonathan Huberdeau maybe bouncing back this year, another player that we've not talked about at all that we talked about pretty much every podcast episode last preseason was Mackenzie Weegar. That's a guy who I'm waiting to see what step he's going to take. And so I saw flashes of that, and I'm leaning more towards Calgary than I am towards Winnipeg, but you can't go wrong with a guy like Scheifele or Hellebuck in your fantasy team, right, Nick?
Yeah, you're right. I think when you're looking for starts, I just wonder defensively if they're going to be able to keep the puck out of the net. You know, especially with some of the teams in that division, also in the Pacific Division, you're playing McDavid a lot. It seems to be a recipe for disaster. And I do think like Winnipeg's sort of in the middle. I was going to add too, brought to you by good friends over at Skip, a listener question via Instagram. Very impulsive question. Anna, we'll go to you first because it's right up your alley. Drop Schmid for Corpusalo for Aiden Hill. Again, a reminder, we're 9 games into the season.
No, I don't think so. I mean, all credit to Aiden Hill. The guy won a Stanley Cup, so I don't want to say anything too bad about him. But Schmid hasn't even played a game yet, okay? So let the guy get a start in the NHL this season before you start dropping him left, right, and center. And Corpusalo really impressed me last night, guys. Like, there were parts of that game where he was standing out. He kept Ottawa in that game for a large chunk of it. The Carolina Hurricanes, they roll 4 solid lines. Their D-core had 2 goals last night. They had over 40 shots on goal as a team. It's a dynamic team. It's a tough team to play against, and Corpusalo held his own against a very, very tough season opener for the Senators. So I'm excited to see what he can do once he gets a little bit more comfortable with this team. Obviously, the Senators missing Josh Norris. They're figuring out the Shane Pinto situation. It's only up from here for the Ottawa Senators, and I'm excited to see what that does for Corpusalo. So I'm team Corpusalo and absolutely team Schmid right now, Nick.
That seems like a little bit of nonsense going on with the Pinto situation, right? Norris is out indefinitely. We don't know how long he's going to be out. And like, why is this guy not signed after a really nice rookie season, Jake? Doesn't make much sense to me. And although Ottawa was hanging around in that game yesterday with Carolina, like Chychrun had a rough night defensively. Yep. Concerns about Corpusalo. I'm not saying that I would necessarily drop Corpusalo for Aiden Hill, but Aiden Hill has shown me a lot more consistency in the past, 6 months than Jonas Corpusalo has, regular season and playoffs. What do you think, man?
So I am very much team Aiden Hill here. I have a ton of exposure to him in fantasy, and I was actually shocked with where he was going in fantasy drafts. I thought there would be so much more Aiden Hill love in fantasy because we always play with recency bias. The last thing we remember is Vegas winning the cup and Aiden Hill, you know, hoisting the cup. And I know you can make a case that a lot of it was the team in front of him, but when you looked at the underlying numbers in the playoffs, Aiden Hill was as big a part of that as anybody on that Vegas roster. So I was a little shocked that he was going as low as he did. One game into the season, and I'm very happy with my shares so far. So I'm very pro Aiden Hill. I'm not worried about Corpusalo. I think we have to take into account who they were facing. Carolina is just a juggernaut. They throw a lot of rubber on net. Didn't love the game-winning goal that went in on him. I think he would certainly love to have that one back, but that's okay. And I want to see what Ottawa does on this upcoming homestand. I believe it's 5 or 6 home games in a row. That's, I think, where we'll really see what this team can do. And there's some winnable games in there as well. It's a very important stretch for Ottawa early in the season.
since we're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes, I want to bring up another goalie. As Jake mentioned, Aiden Hill fell a lot in drafts. This goalie fell a lot in drafts that I was a part of. I believe that we were in a 14-team league, Pete, and I got Frederik Andersen in round 10. And I feel like after last night's performance, there was a little bit of concern for me because Ottawa stayed in that game largely because of two goals Andersen allowed within, what, like 40 seconds? But at the end of the day, the Carolina Hurricanes allowed the fewest shots on goal among any team in the NHL last year per game. So why are the Carolina goalies just absolutely plummeting in drafts this year, Jake?
I honestly think it's just because it's such a convoluted crease and so many people look at it. I think a lot of people wanted to take your guy Kochetkov. Like he's there and I mean he's flashed and I'm someone that would love to see him get some more starts as well. But with Ranta there, with Andersen there, it becomes sort of a messy situation. And I think fantasy owners look at that and say, well, there's three guys. I don't know if I want to dip my toe in that and risk having a guy that's not going to get a ton of starts. But at the end of the day, Frederik Andersen is the guy as long as he stays healthy. And we know there's major question marks with that. He tends to get hurt at some point every year. But I still think there's major value in him. If you get him for the important stretch of the fantasy season, you hope he's healthy in that stretch. Carolina is one of the better defensive teams in the National Hockey League. So I think there was a ton of value with Frederik Andersen in your fantasy drafts. And we'll see if Piotr gets a shot down the road. We know the injury history with Ranta and Andersen.
It's an absolute party in that crease. And I think you're so right. Pete, I was going to get your thoughts on the Colorado Avalanche. You know, I think you look at their effort in the first game of the season. That offense looks pretty damn good, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to just mention with Carolina, keep an eye on Michael Bunting, power play goal in his first game. Tony D had a power play assist. I know Anna was talking about, we didn't really mention Tony D all off season. So just wanted to let everybody know that he's still very productive like he was 2 years ago when he's in Carolina. But yeah, back to Colorado. I mean, you already have seen some early returns through one game from some of these guys, Ross Colton, an assist. Right. Miles Wood. We didn't talk about him all summer. He scored a goal and he's going to bring you good category coverage. So for a deep bangers league, take a look at Miles Wood. He's on a much better team now and maybe a more prominent role than he was for the entirety of his career with the Devils. Right, Anna?
Yeah, for sure. The Colorado Avalanche are just a team where you know there's going to be value in some players and exposure from those players to others. So I'm excited to see what value we can get out for the season. I'm surprised Nick didn't bring up his favorite guy in the world, Jonathan Drouin, who got a point. He's a point
good.
Per game player Apple. As it stands right now. That's what
so
he
is. Connor Bedard.
I know, comeback season. Yeah, basically one and the same, right? Jonathan Drouin and Connor Bedard. What's the difference? But I got to give a shout out to Mika Rantanen, the game he played last night as well. I mean, phenomenal. And he's one of those guys in the first round, you never really know where he's going to go. I feel like a lot of people overlook him. It seems like everyone was hyping up the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jack Hughes was going as high as fourth or third even in some drafts. Nate MacKinnon was the guy in Colorado. Mika Rantanen falls a decent amount in the first round of drafts. When is this guy finally going to get the respect he deserves, Jake?
And I love my guy Big Val as well, Val Nichushkin. I know he didn't factor in too much on opening night, but I think just being in that top six, getting power play time as well, he was another guy that really plummeted in fantasy drafts. And I thought, don't we want a piece of this Avs top six? So we know what happened with him in the playoffs last year, and he kind of let his team down, and maybe that's souring people on him a little bit. But he's back. He's ready to play. He's a force in all situations for the Avs. So I really like him moving forward in that roster. And tons of value there. And I mean, you're right about Rantanen. You never know if he's going to go like sixth or seventh in your first round, or like 12th or 13th, something in that range. But keep an eye on him. He's somebody that could take a sneaky run at the Rocket this year if that Avs offense scores a couple goals on opening night. I think he's very much going to be in that conversation.
There's so much depth on that Colorado offense that it really, really is scary. Let's get back to a skip question here. Add Besser after huge game and drop Tarasenko. Again, a very impulsive decision. One game into this season, Jake, how do you feel about it?
That's a tough one. I would like to see Tarasenko play some home games first and not have to play in Carolina. Like that's about as tough as a matchup as you can get. And they still generated quite a few chances and they scored some goals. So I would let him play the home games first. I do have interest in Besser, though, and I did even going in to this season, whether it's a shot prop, goal prop, he's in a really good position there on that team, and he's getting power play time. So I don't hate the Besser pickup. I just don't think I would give up on Tarasenko just yet. Maybe look at the rest of your roster and see if there's somebody else you could cut before you cut Tarasenko. Let him play this home stretch and see how he does in that Ottawa Senators offense.
It was great to see from Besser, really, because it's hard to believe. But then again, it's not that surprising that the guy's never had a 30-goal season, largely because he's missed so much time because of injury. But the past 2 years, like the production, even when he's been healthy, has been way down. So now give him a 4 spot. He can tack on to that over the course of the season and maybe shatter his previous career high. I think we all know that guy, especially if he sees a lot of time with Pettersson, even just on the power play, is capable of 35 or 40 for sure.
I think Besser's worth the pickup right now, but comparing him to Tarasenko, I just gotta say, guys, I'm getting deja vu with the Ottawa Senators this year and the New Jersey Devils last year. I feel like the exact same thing is going to happen, where when the Devils started the season, there were the fire Lindy chants at the Rock in New Jersey, and everyone was down and out on this team. No one thought they were going to make the playoffs. The Senators, granted, did have way more hype heading into this season, but they're going to be a second half team for sure, and I think they're going to start picking up the pace as this year comes to an end. So don't be down and out on guys like Vladimir Tarasenko this early. It's been one game.
I like the similarities. That's very, very well put, and a nice little proclamation there from Anna. Couple things on Tampa, some housekeeping notes. Victor Hedman is seeing PP1 duties over Sergachev early on the season. It's one game in. The Boston Bruins win again. David Pastrnak, I thought, was outstanding in that game. Great to see Milan Lucic back in a Bees uniform. Can I interest you, Jake, in my doppelganger, Nick Paul? 2 goals and an assist, so he's playing on the third line. But the most important thing here in the fantasy world, he's on PP1 in front of the net with the big boys.
Yeah, I was very curious who was going to get that spot on the first power play for Tampa. And we have our answer, at least early in the season, and it's Nick Paul. So yeah, I still think he's going to get his fair share of minutes on the third line if John Cooper wants to roll those lines. And then obviously he's going to get that power play time as well. So tons of interest there based on what we saw in that first game. And he's just a guy that's not afraid to go to those greasy areas to score goals. I also think John Cooper might just be trolling us a little bit with the power play shares between Hedman and Sergachev, just flip-flopping back and forth. I know he's a listener to our channel, but he hates fantasy. Like, he hates the fantasy show. That's his one gripe. Hates when we talk fantasy hockey, but he does love his hockey talk. So I think he's just trolling fantasy owners right now, guys. He's just like, oh, Sergachev one game, Hedman one game, and I'll just mess with these people for a little bit.
And it is surprising that Tampa didn't make a move before the start of the season, that they are going in with just JoJo in the crease. But
JoJo,
I mean, yeah, that's an easy way to say it. No mispronunciation.
I like it.
But to the other Florida team, this is the one team across the league that's dealing with a ton of injuries, because they went on that deep playoff run. Montour's not starting the season. Ekblad's not starting the season. Sam Bennett doubtful for the season opener, which hasn't been played yet. So, Jake, what are your thoughts on these Florida Panthers? And is Oliver Ekman-Larsson a viable pickup on defense, considering these top pair with Gus Forsling and first power play?
Yeah, I think just being on that first power play gives him enough short-term fantasy value, but I would stress that it is short-term, and that at some point Montour, Ekblad going to come back into that lineup, and you're probably going to have to send OEL to the wire. So I don't mind it as a short-term play early in the season. And yeah, I'm curious if we get a couple of players step up in that lineup that we're not really thinking about right now. We know who the big players are on Florida: Matt Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe, who's looking to follow up a great season. Would love to see Verhaeghe get some more power play time this year, guys. It's amazing what he was able to do last year and the amount of goals he was able to score, mostly being on the second power play unit. Like, can we get Carter Verhaeghe on the first unit for an entire season? Why would you not want this guy shot on the first unit? I'm not really sure what Florida's doing there. So that's something I'm going to be watching very closely with the Panthers early in the season, is their power play usage. Like you said, Pete, OEL going to get the first crack, and that's obviously Montour's spot when he comes back. But I want to see Carter V ripping that puck on the first unit this year.
I like Verhaeghe. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's proven himself so far with the Panthers. But I got to ask you, Jake, with Florida, is this where the recency bias comes into play? Because, yes, they had this deep Cinderella story run, and I don't have them making the postseason in my predictions. And a lot of people flamed me for that because they were like, they made it to the Stanley Cup final. And I was like, they barely made the postseason. So you got to remember that a playoff team that's a solid playoff team might not be a solid regular season team. And they had a lot of guys on that team, yes, last season, who underperformed. They have the injuries this year and all of those concerns, do you really think the Florida Panthers are like as hyped as they are appear to be by so many fantasy owners? Or is this a team that you're maybe fading because it's so much more tough in the East this year than it has been in the past?
I actually had them out in my predictions as well, Anna. So you can send half of those gripe messages over my way. I'll take a little bit of the heat there as well. And you know, part of it was just because I wanted to get some fresh blood in there, right? We're looking at Ottawa and Buffalo trying to take a step this year, maybe a couple of other teams. Pittsburgh wants to get back in the mix. Obviously, they got out to a bit of a tough start to their season, but there's a lot of talent there. So yeah, when I look at it, I do still have some interest and I'm curious what they can do and follow it up. But I choose to look at the bigger sample size of the 82-game season last year rather than, I don't want to call it a miracle run, but it did kind of have some miracle tendencies to it where they, you know, they catch a hot goaltender and they go on this small sample size run in the playoffs. They struggled for the most part in that 82-game season. And then you mentioned the injuries on the back end as well. So I would say I'm mostly fading Florida to start the season, but I'm very curious if a couple players can step up here.
Jakey, before we leave you, any plays for Thursday? I think I'm eyeing the over Minnesota and the aforementioned Florida Panthers.
I do like that over a lot that you just mentioned. You know, looking at the card right now, I think Seattle could be worth a play here. Game under their belt in Vegas. I actually thought they looked pretty good early in that game against the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, Vegas' first shot goes in, then kind of a fluky one for Marchessault. And then they're chasing the game after that. And we know there was a lot of energy in the building. So Nashville is a team I think I'm looking to fade early in the season, guys. I know they're a bit of a trendy pick to make the playoffs and do some things. I think they're going to experience some growing pains this year. I think long-term Barry Trotz is coming in and doing the right thing in Nashville. He's getting rid of some bad contracts. He's bringing in some youth. And I think over the course of the next few years, it's going to be good. But I think this year in particular, I think there's going to be some tough nights for the Predators. So as a favorite tonight, I will fade the Preds and I'll take the Kraken.
Jake, we really appreciate you coming on, man. You're talking about some bad contracts. You're a good contract. We appreciate your contributions as always, buddy.
Yeah, always a good contract when I'm free, right, guys? But yeah, always appreciate coming on with you and enjoy the start of the NHL season.
The one and only Jay Conn. Of course, you can catch him daily with Boomer Gordon on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Pete, I know you're fired up. The season debut here for the Buffalo Sabres. Can't wait for that game, Sabres and Rangers tonight.
Absolutely. And look at some of these early rookie trends, right? Matthew Potra, Boston Bruins, assist in his first game in the win against the Blackhawks. And yeah, I would have to say if I had a best bet for Thursday, it would be to put a parlay together with a Zach Benson goal, maybe a Tage Thompson goal, and a Buffalo Sabres victory against the Rangers. I've been kind of looking at that matchup as a potential changing of the guard, or at least the start of it in the Eastern Conference. We all have our concerns about the depth of the New York Rangers, Anna. Am I off base here? Am I waving the pom-poms too much right now, too early, or am I onto something here?
Pete's going to be a local legend in Buffalo this season. That's all I can tell you guys. I'm waiting for you.
A wing sauce named after him.
I like that. Yeah, if anyone in Buffalo is listening and wants to create the Jensen sauce, the JoJo sauce, let us know. A good partnership opportunity for you. But I agree. I think the Sabres are a team to watch. I am a little bit worried about the Rangers because I think it's going to take them a while to adjust to their lineup and figure out where they want all of these young guys to play since they keep moving them around. However, the game I'm looking at tonight is a game that Nick actually teed up, and that's the Florida Panthers and the Minnesota Wild. And of course, I got to start off the season with one of my boys. Matt Boldy's a player I'm looking at specifically for shots on goals, guys, because he played two games against the Florida Panthers last regular season. Had 7 shots on goal in that span, point per game, 2 points across those two games. Matt Boldy, it's going to be his year, guys. He's going to break out even further, Nick.
I like it. The Boldy and the Beautiful, a fantastic, fantastic fantasy name, by the way. I'm looking at Detroit, New Jersey Devils, the over 6.5 in that game. And as I referenced, I like the over with the Wild and the Panthers game. And give me my boy Alex DeBrincat to score a goal tonight. I think he's back home in Michigan. He's feeling good about life. So looking forward to this slate. And Pete, we're going to be back on Monday, right? The first waiver wire edition of the show this year.
Yeah, the first full week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Already have a waiver wire article on NHL.com/fantasy in addition to all our season preview content. Remember, if you haven't joined a fantasy league yet, it's not too late to do so. We're less than a week in, so sign up for a Yahoo Fantasy League for sure. Listen to all our season preview episodes, and you'll be in good hands here, Nick.
I love it. Looking forward to creating and working on that groove on my couch all weekend long, watching some hockey. Thanks to Jay Conn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Pete Jensen, And Anadu, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.